Cheers, and welcome to the That's So Ravenclaw podcast.
Yay!
We're your hosts, Michelle,
Larissa,
Jana,
Robert, and Isaac.
Today we are discussing the recurring theme of loss of control and its prevalence in chapters 22 through 25 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Right now we are seated in Forbidden Forest, a place that sees any noises you might hear in the background.
But before we begin, we'd like to thank the Weasley Wizards Wheezes for sponsoring this podcast. Next time you're in Diagon Alley, make sure to stop by England's best joke shop.
We really get to see the true colors of these characters throughout these chapters through the theme of loss of control. I feel that Cho is a prime example of losing control. She is always bawling her eyes out about everything and can't control her emotions.
I also think Cho loses control because she isn't taking proper care of herself to mend her broken heart. Instead of working on herself, she's off trying to get with Harry when it's obviously not a good idea.
Well, if she really wants to be with Harry, she has to gain control of her emotions so that she can have a proper conversation with him without bringing up Cedric. She has to make peace with the fact that he is gone so she won't let her emotions control her.
Sirius has also had his fair share of losing control in two different ways. When Snape stops by a 12 Grimoire place to speak to Harry about occultancy, Sirius gets all defensive, assuming Snape is up to no good.
Yeah, I think Sirius is the one that starts their fight because, first of all, he doesn't want Snape to hurt Harry, and second of all, he hasn't had much human interaction in a while, and he wants to vent out his built-up anger. I know that Snape loses his control as well, but I think he has a better reason to do so. I mean, Sirius bullied him all throughout his childhood and teenage years. I have to give him that.
One thing that Snape brings up really ticks off Sirius. James Potter. Sirius is very sensitive toward the subject, and he has every reason to be, but he can't lash out on everyone who doesn't agree that James was not that great of a person.
Instead of getting all upset about Snape being Snape, he could have acted like an adult by trusting Dumbledore's decision to have Snape teach Harry how to control his mind, but he chooses to act childish and influence Harry to do the same. Harry looks up to Sirius, and when he sees him lose control, it only makes him hate Snape even more.
I also think that Sirius is taking out his frustration on Snape because he's essentially under house arrest by Dumbledore, and he can't really be with Harry. He has all this tension built up, and the easiest person to blame is Snape since he can't really argue with the Albus Dumbledore.
Yeah, Snape has been a target for most of Sirius's childhood, so it makes sense for him to use him as a scapegoat.
Well, I also feel that Sirius also feels a loss of control over Snape. Because Snape and James have bullied him for a large part of his childhood, he's always considered the weird one and inferior to James and Sirius. The way the two bullied Snape gave them power over him, but now that Snape is trusted by Dumbledore and a key part of the Order, Sirius feels a loss of control over him.
I also think Snape is the one losing control. He's the one who had to bring up Harry's dad, and he knows that that is a very sensitive subject for Sirius. They both can control themselves for the greater good of the group. They're supposed to be protecting Harry, but they seem to forget that they are on the same team.
It's like how our world works today. People fight and hate one another, but they fail to remember that we're all just trying to survive in this world together.
We get to see Professor Umbridge, also known as the High Inquisitor of Hogwarts, gain control over the entire school, including its students and staff. She enforces numerous educational decrees in these chapters. When Umbridge actually becomes High Inquisitor, Dumbledore and the other professors lose control over their own school.
For example, Umbridge conducts inspections over all of the professors and how effective their methods of teaching are earlier in the book. Dumbledore is the headmaster of Hogwarts. He should not have another professor who he did not even choose to take on this role to go around telling everyone what they can and cannot do.
Dumbledore should be the one who chooses what professors can teach and what they cannot teach. Umbridge takes the professors' control away from them by telling how and what they can teach.
Umbridge also stripped away so many rights of the students. In Chapter 25, Umbridge sends out another educational decree that teachers were banned from giving students any information that is unrelated to the teacher's subject that they teach.
Honestly, why does Umbridge think she can do what she wants and enforce rules of her own? What gives her the right to give her all the authority?
It's just been proven time and time again how radical change starts small. Before she was anything else, she was just a professor. Then she was High Inquisitor, and then she became headmaster at Hogwarts. She got to that position because the professors just gave up their own rights to govern their class how they want to, and the students lost their right to be individuals.
I think rules are necessary for the students so they can have a guideline of how to act. But Umbridge wasn't creating rules, she was creating regulations that went way past the line.
When people are willing to give up their own individual right and the freedom to govern themselves, it always ends with someone like Umbridge having way too much power over everyone. Yes, she kind of gives herself this authority to take away the students' and the teachers' rights to be individuals, but how did she get that power?
Well, I think because Dumbledore, the professors, and the students kind of let it happen. I understand that maybe Dumbledore and the fellow professors maybe had a plan, but think about it.
How many of them are there versus the one? Umbridge was just one person versus hundreds of others, including the students. This kind of ties back to our theme because not only did they lose control over Hogwarts, they lost the control to govern themselves and be individuals.
Besides all the negative connotations of losing control, there's also the side of losing control in a caring way. The woes of Mrs. Weasley comes in the middle of a shitstorm of plot. All kinds of crazy things are happening, and we're given a break from it by entering Mrs. Weasley's thoughts and fears. I think this shows just how much she cares, not only for her family, but those around them that they have all grown close to. Fast forward to the hospital scene.
We see Miss Weasley lose control on her husband in the hospital. However, unlike the people losing control in a negative and hurtful way, she loses control in a loving way and not from a place of damaging anger.
Yeah, I think Mrs. Weasley lost control because she was scared. When she found out that he got stitches, she freaks out and yells at him in his love for Muggle artifacts.
Maybe she was just scared of the unknown. She doesn't think the stitches will work because she is so used to seeing magic healing people. She doesn't trust the Muggle ways, but it shows that she loves him so much that she doesn't want to risk the chance of his giant arm not healing.
And the award for outside-the-box medical thinking goes to Augustus Pye for the first successful Muggle stitches on a wizard.
Woo. Carrying on the theme of losing control, there's Harry, who deliberately loses control over his dreams and thoughts in the occlumency lessons. After Harry has the dream about Mr. Weasley being attacked, he is brought to Dumbledore's office to explain what he saw in hopes of saving Mr. Weasley. In the office, Harry loses control over his emotions and wants to sink his fangs into Dumbledore.
Oh, thank you.
In an unwanted but terrifyingly strong hatred for him. This is the first instance where Harry loses control over his emotions to suspectedly Dumbledore. Voldemort's evil.
Is this instance actually Harry losing control to Voldemort, though, or is it Harry losing control of his own emotions? Throughout the entire story, Harry's anger has been building towards Dumbledore. Is this finally him losing control over his emotions, something that was inevitable due to Harry's state of mind, or is it Voldemort's influence, though?
Yeah, it was Voldemort. Later on, Snape tells Harry that he will have to take occlumency lessons so that he will no longer have a connection with Voldemort. Harry begins to question this decision because if he can see inside Voldemort's mind, why would they not use it to their advantage, especially since it saved Mr. Weasley's life? This is where Harry begins to question his control over his connection with Voldemort and whether he should suppress it or use it.
In my opinion, it could be more Voldemort's influence rather than Harry losing control of his emotions. Voldemort also wants to keep the connection with Harry so he can use it for his own agenda, since he actually knows how to use it to his advantage.
From losing control of our time by procrastinating homework to losing control of our temper and road raging while driving behind a slow driver, we see this theme in everyday life. I think the message Rowling is trying to send is that some things are worth losing control over and some things are not. I mean, we waste a lot of life freaking out about the things we can't control and not putting enough effort into the things that we need to control. The themes Rowling presents throughout this book is applicable to every human on this planet. This is what makes her story of Harry Potter so universally loved. So, That wraps up today's That's So Ravenclaw. We hope you enjoyed the podcast and hope your day is as magical as Hogwarts. And remember, folks, Weasley will always be our king.